My elbow just slipped off the desk there. Somebody moved my desk.
Jamie! Who's been touching my equipment?
Sometimes I just go, Jamie! And then he comes in, he's like, what? And I'm like, I can't get Tally into the car seat.
Soul Sisters with me, Claire Solan.
And me, Georgie Crawford.
Let the good times roll because the gang is back together, Soul Sisters and Colgate Max White Ultra, that is. We are so delighted to say that this season is brought to you with thanks to our good friends at Colgate Max White Ultra. Lads, you may buy the hat because we're officially a match made in heaven.
And in even better news, this season will bring an even brighter future for our smiles with more excitement coming from Colgate soon. So stay tuned to Soul Sisters in the coming episodes for more.
So I want to give our Soul Sisters just a little hint of a tint of what's coming there, because I'm sure you're thinking to yourself, like, toothpaste, what can Colgate have in store? But I can tell you that there is other ways to whiten your teeth
that don't hurt, which I think is so important, and something that Colgate are very focused on is to take away that pain of whitening.
Yes, exactly. Protection, not pain.
So how was your week, Claire?
Listen here, I may talk for the whole episode. I have that much to tell you.
Really?
Yeah. So you can tell me now just to whoosh, but I've loads of things to say. So I'll kick off with a few little tidbits and then I'll tell you where I was last weekend, which was just one of the most amazing weekends of my life, truly.
Mm. Now, before we go any further, ooh, I feel like your microphone is peaking slightly.
Okay. Am I shouting?
It's just your gain is just tiny, tiny bit too high, I think.
Okay, yeah. How's that now? I've turned it down. The gain has gone down to...
Yeah, perfect.
9 o'clock.
Yeah, I think we're good now.
Okay, great. See, I obviously very, very high vibration coming out of me today, so...
I think when you move those mics around, sometimes your gain gets a little bit off and then we're into...
That's true. That's so true, because this lives behind the TV. Where does yours live?
So I had to hide it because all my nieces and nephews were coming over last week and they get a little bit excited. And I didn't want them to touch my gain. So I hid it and I put it in such a good hiding place. It took me 15 minutes to find it before I came on.
Classic. And do you know what my favorite thing about those really safe places is? As you're putting it there, you're telling yourself, I am the smartest cookie around. Mm-hmm. Putting it in here, no one will ever find it, including me.
When you see something and you say, that is the weirdest place for that to be, but I will never forget where it is because it's so weird. And then you just forget. So I'm back from an easy threesy in Marley Park. I feel like, Claire, you would love the vibe. So we have a run club now, Good Glow Run Club. I'll leave a link in the episode show notes if you want to join us. And the easy threesy is your type of scene. We've got girls coming alone, girls who haven't run in years. We all set off together, some run, some walk, a mixture of both. And then at the end, we all meet for a coffee and we swap stories. And when I tell you the vibes are high, easy threesies are amazing.
How many of you was there?
There was about 25 of us today.
Whoa. And what was the weather like over there?
Nice running weather. So it's not sunny. It's warm, but cool enough to feel not overwhelmed on a run, if you get me.
Yes, I get you. Now, so I actually woke, I went to bed last night thinking I might go and do park run in the morning. And I haven't had that thought for months and months and months. But I think it is all of the Good Glow Run Club stuff that's sort of in the ether that's got me motivated. So maybe I'll go over there next weekend.
Yeah, but what happened today?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So instead, I got out of my bed and got into the bath. And it was Oh, listen. So basically what's happened here is, first of all, Sebastian, the builder, turned up here last week and had a cold. And it took all of my might not to put my hand on his shoulder and say, "You clearing something, are you?"
Oh, I thought you were going to say, "Get him into your bath."
The reason I'm still in the bath is because the shower screen hasn't arrived. So he hasn't connected the shower. So I'm still bathing probably every second day now. I kind of skip a day for a bath because I know I'm probably using a lot of water.
Mm-hmm. So you're still enjoying the baths. The novelty has not worn off.
It has. So I get into the bath if I'm feeling like I need a wash, obviously. I get into the bath if I feel like I'm a bit cold. I get into the bath if I feel like I'm a bit sore and maybe emotional. Get into the bath and just like sometimes do a bit of work in there. Sometimes I listen to something. Sometimes I just think.
You get into the bath if you're avoiding the park run on a Saturday morning.
Exactly. If you don't want to do some exercise, get in the bath. But this morning, I was treated to a feat of entertainment by my neighbour. So the neighbour who I used to go in and take dips in her bath, she's gone.
Imogen.
Thank you for reminding me. I couldn't remember for a second there. Imogen is gone. She's moved up north and she has some students living in her gaff. Now, they're not students who like to party. They're actually kind of quite cultural people. And every time I see them, I'm like, these guys are in the arts. Turns out they are in the arts because my neighbour this morning was singing West End level songs. No joke. Like proper given it loads. So I'm lying there in the bath and I'm listening to him bang out a cho tune. And I'm like starting to kind of sing along. And it got me thinking that it was like one of those reels you'd see on Instagram. You know, when a pet, like a dog, starts to warble along with their owner. So like my neighbor is like, "The Phantom of the Opera is here inside my mind." And I'm like, along with them. But it was an elevated bath this morning. So last weekend, I went to Switzerland.
So you haven't made it to Copenhagen yet with your three restaurant recommendations?
It's next on my list. It's next on my list, but I haven't booked the flight yet. Switzerland was, I've never been to Switzerland before, but it's always like this. It just has this reputation of being like elitist a little bit. Like you're kind of thinking, I'm going to go there. It's going to be chocolate and cuckoo clocks and maybe snow and really expensive, you know, price of living. But anyway, my mate lives over there, Michael, and he is married to Colm, Irish guys, and they moved to Geneva. And he'd said to me, come over. And I was like, actually, maybe I will. And do you remember I said to you, Dua Lipa had an astrologist instead of a therapist, she was telling us on Dish. So I also visited an astrologist, or I had a reading with an astrologist, a guy called Andrew Smith, who's based in out in Wicklow. And he had said to me, this is over a year ago now, but he had said one of the places in the world where you should definitely visit is Switzerland, Geneva. It's going to be somewhere your soul wants to visit. And also they're going to be buying what you're selling over there. So you should go and visit. So I was like, well, Andrew, you don't have to convince me. I'm there. So when Michael invited me over, I was like, right, I'm gone. Soon as I landed in Geneva, I was
bankrupt.
Absolutely bankrupt. But it was like it's a place where you can just now, for someone like me who likes quiet time and privacy and, you know, it just feels like my kind of country. Into the airport, straight into use the loos. The loos are not stalls, they're rooms. And came out of the airport, went into Geneva, into the center of Geneva, and set myself up in a place called Au Martin, which was this beautiful restaurant in beside the central train station. Sat there for the afternoon, weather was banging, food was banging, coffee was brilliant. And I just sat there and listened to the French being spoken all around me. Now, if I was to learn a European language, it would be French. So I was just listening to it and like just soaking it all up. Then I met my mate who wait till you hear this, lived 4 minutes drive from Geneva Airport. Plane spotter. For the whole weekend, I'm sitting there and we're chatting. He's got a fire pit and we're sitting there and we're chatting. And he goes, oh, hang on. That's Turkish Airways going to Ankara. I'm like, well, well, well. What is it with me and plane spotters?
I don't know. It's weird, isn't it?
You, Neil, Michael, everybody. So I actually found a new appreciation for planes, actually, because I was literally watching them over my head for the whole weekend. Michael also had a sauna in his back garden. So we were in the sauna every evening. And we were just beside Lake Geneva as well. So we took a dip in Lake Geneva, which was crystal clear, bright blue, beautiful. Genuinely the loveliest weekend. And on one of the last days, Michael and I were sitting down at Lake Geneva having a coffee and a pastry. And we looked down at there's like a little pier. And on the wall of the pier, there was a gentleman who was about 6'7" at least. And he was lying on the pier wall. I was like, Michael, is he naked? And he looks down and he goes, yeah, he's absolutely naked. And then, without warning, he starts doing press-ups.
What?
Press-ups on the wall. This tall, dark Adonis starts doing press-ups in the distance. Me and Michael sat back with our shades on and watched in
awe.
And
was he in a public place or was this his garden?
No, no, he was in a public place. It was Mother's Day and we were sitting on like a sort of a grassy verge where there was about 25 people around us. So he was just, and then he started skipping.
What?
Now he's skipped.
Skipping? What happened? Well, skip and you're naked and you're a man.
Unfortunately, he decided to skip on the other side of the wall, which is sad. So we didn't actually get to see the whole performance. But it was, I must say, it was the cherry on the top of a wonderful weekend.
Well, winners. I'm going to Switzerland in the new year to run half marathon in the Alps for my 40th.
Whoa. You're bringing people.
Yeah. Yeah. We're bringing 60 people to Switzerland in January to run a half marathon in the snowy Alps.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
That's going to be amazing.
So my week was very wholesome as well. I had no naked man skipping in my garden.
Jamie!
I must keep a closer look though, just in case. I do have a few neighbours. I had the most amazing time at Tally's christening. It was a beautiful day. We were in the church, and you know, I've said this to the Soul Sisters before, that 3 days after Pia's christening, I found a lump in my breast. So to go, you know, just after the last 5 years and everything we've been through, to have Tally, it felt like the most special day of her life so far. So we went to the church, and every time I looked at her, I just felt like I was going to ball crying. But we had such a lovely day. We came back here, we had a little celebration for Sambe and Sophie with a cake, and we had gorgeous food, and we sat around chatting, and we ended the night with my mum and Joe sitting around the fire pit telling stories and having a gorgeous glass of wine. But this was interesting, right? Because the journey was on my mind for the whole day, and just how precious life is and how lucky we are. I was putting Tally to bed that night, and everyone was still in my house and, you know, chatting away and having a bit of a party in the garden. And I was putting her down, and I was thinking about, you know, how different today, you know, that day felt for me physically, because when Pia was being christened, like, I didn't feel very well. And I was putting Tally down, I was looking at her going to sleep, and I was like, you know, it's so different this time. Mm-hmm. And then I looked up. Okay, you're going to love this. I looked up, and is it like people in the like wellness world, like we find meaning in everything, don't we?
Absolutely.
Look at that feather. Look at that bird. But as she was going to sleep, I looked up, and her baby monitor was sitting on top of what I know for sure Glennon Doyle's Untamed, Hal Elrod's Miracle Morning, Eat That Frog, which I still haven't got around to reading. And all of these books, or as Martha Beck would call them, mother pages.
Wow.
And I just thought to myself, in that split second, the foundations are different. This time, it's so, so different. And we have been on cloud nine ever since.
Oh, I'm so happy. I saw the pictures on Instagram. It looked amazing. You mentioned Glennon Doyle there. And I just wanted to actually alert people to her most recent episodes of We Can Do Hard Things. Her sister Amanda has been diagnosed with breast cancer. And they,
which the girl on the podcast.
Yeah.
Amanda. What?
Yeah. So it's the two-parter, and it's just for anybody going through a cancer journey or anybody who knows somebody going through a cancer journey. I think it's a really good two-parter to listen to, because Amanda talks about coming to terms with it and what she the steps she has to take next. And then they just dig into their feelings about it. So obviously Amanda is there and her sister Glennon is there and Glennon's wife Abby is there. So it's like listening to a family digest the worst news they can possibly get.
Oh God, that's so tough. That is so tough. Actually, speaking of breast cancer, my surgeon, Professor Hill, is cycling from Mizzen to Malinhead. 670 kilometres. Now, this man is in the hospital saving lives every single day. So the fact that he's leaving the hospital to do this challenge, he's doing it for Breast Cancer Ireland. And obviously, we need funding in order to change breast cancer in what can be a fatal disease and diagnosis into a treatable illness. So I'll leave a link in the show notes. Even if €5 you can give him on this trip, if you've been affected by cancer, if Professor Hill has helped someone in your family or any of his amazing colleagues out in Beaumont, even if you've been touched by an incredible porter out in Beaumont, if anyone was kind to you, please, please just click on the link, and even €5 would help Professor Hill. So yeah, God, that's terrible about her. I can't believe it.
I know, it just shows you.
But now, speaking of podcasts, right? I was listening to Victoria Beckham being interviewed on Goop by Gwyneth Paltrow.
What? I haven't seen this.
Now, this is, it's real soul sisters vibe, you know, like you just want to kind of have it on in the background, like two friends chatting. But she said something really interesting on it. Victoria says that when she moved to LA, she fell in love with herself, or she valued herself for the very first time in her life. And it made me think that, you know, sometimes when we're stuck in a cycle of the same, it might be hard for us to start a new relationship with ourselves, you know, like she had to move across the entire world. I don't know what happened, whether she got away from other people's expectations or she got to become this new and improved version of herself, or whatever happened for her, she was able to love herself for the very first time. And I just thought, Claire Solon would be a great person to give her take on this, because you go on adventures to India and all across the world. And do you think that, like, sometimes it takes a different city or a different energy in order to ignite that self-love?
100%. And what came to be there when you're talking about Victoria, if you remember when they moved to LA, she dyed her hair blonde.
Yeah.
And you remember she had that purple dress on when she was going to the LA Galaxy and everything on the first day. And I think she felt, having watched that documentary now of about the Beckhams, I'd say she felt like it was a fresh start, because the British press had just hounded them. And, you know, her time in the Spice Girls and her time in her marriage was just literally public fodder for so many years, that she went to LA, and LA is this place where, you know, what's your dream? You know, we can make it a reality, and everybody cares about all of the things that celebs care about. Like, how do we look? How can I eat better? How can I, you know, the sunshine. I can completely understand how she would have rediscovered herself over there.
Yeah. And do you think then, if somebody feels like they don't love themselves. How do you ignite, you know, that love for yourself?
One of the Soul Sisters got in touch with me on Instagram and said, I was just looking up the Gutsy Girl trips and I was planning on going on a sup trip to Sardinia. And I was looking at the reviews and I saw the name Claire Solon. I was like, wait a second, that's Claire from Soul Sisters. And my it was like a 5-star review. And so I think it was Emma was her name. And she said, oh, just wondering, because I'm going on my own. Could you tell me, like, is it going to be okay? Am I going to enjoy it? And I said to her, Emma, like, that was one of the pivotal moments for me in adulthood, where I decided to go on a trip with other like-minded people and to a beautiful place to do something fun. And actually what happened was those people mirrored back to me who I was. So I loved them. They loved me. We had great crack together. We were out in the sunshine, like real joie de vivre stuff. And as a consequence, I came back and I was like, wow, I'm going to book another trip. And also, I love myself.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So for anyone listening, I'm going to ask myself this today. Like, do I truly love myself? And if the answer is not hell yeah, maybe this is a sign that we need to go on a journey or look into that a little bit deeper and really think about that. Bring that into your conscious mind this week. Do I love myself? And if the answer is not yes, how can I ignite that?
Maybe love is too strong a word to kick off with. So how can I like myself more? And liking yourself more involves giving yourself a break. Yeah. So if you can say to yourself, if you can catch yourself looking in the mirror and being critical or whatever it is, wherever your judgment comes in, if you can say to yourself, okay, I'm going to give myself a break and treat myself as my best friend this week and just make little tweaks. I'm going to sit down outside the coffee shop and have my coffee. I'm going to take a different route to work. I'm doing my renovation here, for instance. Now, the weirdest thing is I'm really enjoying it, my bedroom. I have no curtains up, right? I have no curtains. And most people would be horrified at the idea of sleeping in a room with no curtains. But let me tell you, waking up has become such a pleasure because my circadian rhythm is now naturally waking up with the sunlight. I don't need an alarm clock to like pretend that it's the morning. The actual morning greets me, you know, at 6 o'clock, and I wake up and I'm like, okay, it's time to get up. And then also what's weird is I've now decided to sleep on the other side of the bed. So giving yourself, like bringing change into your life allows you to try things and see different perspectives.
Yeah. Do something, anything differently.
Did you see this week, Bumble, for all my single Soul Sisters, but also for anyone who is keeping up with the news, did you see that Bumble had a new ad campaign across the US? So it's the dating app Bumble. And my dating coach actually was the one who gave me the nudge about it and said, did you see that? They've pulled all of their advertising. So basically what they did was they put ads on billboards that said statements like, thou shalt not give up dating and become a nun. You know, a vow of celibacy is not the answer.
What's that about?
I joke personally, as a woman who's single and celibate at the moment, I joke often, oh, sure, listen, next stop the convent, Sister Solon. So I think anecdotally, single women might be like, oh, Jesus, sure, I may as well just give it all up and head
to the convent.
And I honestly think that maybe this ad campaign would have been more successful in Ireland than it would have been in the US. Because we just joke about this sort of shit all the time. But the world is, or the US is kind of up in arms, basically saying, like, you're just it's offensive to women because you're basically like just shining a light on the wrong stuff, You know, you're trying to encourage women to use your app, but actually in a way you're being sort of...
kind of shameful.
Shameful and disparaging a little bit. Exactly. Whitney Wolf Heard is the creator, the founder of Bumble. Now, she took Bumble public in 2021 and became like the world's youngest self-made billionaire. And then she gave up being the CEO of Bumble in late 2023 and the CEO of Slack took over. So everybody's like, whoa, you know, what's happened to Bumble? Like Bumble is just massively misrepresenting single people. But I think from my point of view, I mean, look, ads like that don't work clearly. But what I think if dating apps could actually lean into love a little bit more.
Oh,
you know, like if we could cut through all of the assumptions that we make about each other. Women just want long-term relationships. Men just want sex, you know. These tropes follow us round, and what they do is they disconnect us. So then when we get on to use apps, we just start immediately to judge each other rather than to align with each other and say, we're here to find love. If it's not you, it's somebody else, but that's what I'm here for.
Wow, that is so... And like that, because when you were saying that, I was like, maybe Bumble needs to be... the CEO needs to be a single person who's looking for love.
Yes.
Because you get the brief.
The way the world is now, right? If you take a look at what's going on in Gaza, if you take a look at Ukraine, if you take a look at like the possibility of Trump getting back in the White House, everyone's just fearful. Like everyone's on edge. Everyone, what we need most now is love. Like you can't conquer, you can't win a war with war. Like you can't fight your way to falling in love. You can't, you know. So. Actually, what the world needs now is love. And I think if a dating app was brave enough just to go out there with not a clever advertising campaign, but just with love, then I do honestly think that more people would use them.
Oh, I think I just fell in love with you for your take on that. You're my bae. You are my bae. That was so well said.
Oh, thanks.
I had a dream about Phil Collins.
Shut up!
Speaking of love, love, love. Bum, ba-dum. So I had a dream that I was standing at, what do they call those doors at the side of like gig spaces? The stage door.
Stage door, yeah.
I was stage door waiting for Phil Collins to come out of a musical venue. And you weren't even there.
No, babes, because I was backstage with Phil. I was stage left.
You're number one groupie. You get a wristband.
That's funny. Well, what I'm listening to for anybody who wants some musical inspiration this week, I know I've gone way back, lads, and I'm still in the 80s, actually. So Pat Benatar came on Radio 2 the other day. Now, that name might mean nothing to you, but her song is Love is a Battlefield. We are strong, heartache to heartache we stand. No promises, no demands.
Yeah.
Love is a battlefield. Get yourself some Pat Benatar this week, I say. Right, let's talk toothpaste. Big thanks to Colgate Max White Ultra for supporting Soul Sisters this season. Unlike regular whitening toothpastes that only remove surface stains, Colgate Max White Ultra's unique formula goes beyond the surface to remove deep stains and deeply whiten your teeth in just 3 days. Colgate Max White Ultra's whitening technology has been backed by science and dental professionals as a product that actually works, and it will help you feel radiant, confident, and empowered in those most important life moments when you want to smile like you mean it. Gee, what's your smiley moment?
I was on my way into Vicky Nataro's book launch and I looked in the rearview mirror and caught a look at myself, and it happened again. I thought to myself, huh? My teeth are so white without thinking about it. Now, at the start of this season, Colgate sent us some Max White Ultimate. Now, I have this in my hand. I brought it to the podcast today because I wanted to read from the package because Max White Ultimate is the ultimate whitening toothpaste. So it says radiance in sparkly writing at the bottom. Enamel safe toothpaste, very important. Mm-hmm. And then it says in this bubble, reverses 15 years of stains.
15. Count them.
And then I thought, you know, about 15 years ago, and I was like, I don't want to be carrying around stuff from 15 years ago, let alone on my teeth. But I thought to myself in that moment, I love when I catch my teeth off guard when I'm not thinking about Colgate and I say, oh, my teeth look whiter, because then it proves to me that it actually works. So it made me think of you. It made me smile. And when I thought about those 15 years of stains, I was like, I am so glad. We were talking about letting things go last week. You deserve more than to be carrying around 15 years of stains on your teeth. So Colgate's whitening technology has been backed by science and dental professionals as a product that actually works, and it will help you to feel radiant, confident, and empowered in those important life moments where you want to smile like you mean it. And smile I did at Vicky Nataro's book launch. So thanks, Colgate.
So David and I were sitting on my balcony the other day, just getting our retreat bits and pieces dialed in, and it was sunny and we were like, oh, this is the life. It was lunchtime and I could hear some movement, like some sort of building work or some sort of like big Arctic lorry. And I glance out of my balcony. I look down. Who's there?
Dave.
Dave! 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 And of course, like me being the Wally that I am, right? David's sitting there going, yeah, yeah. So basically what we're going to do on the Friday night is, and I was like, this, Dave! 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 And of course, like David Ford is looking at me going, what? Like, what is it? Like, I'm like, no, not you. Builder, Dave. And he was like, okay, grand. Then I'm screaming down and Builder Dave is there and overseeing. So there was two prefabs that were dropped onto our garden, our shared garden, probably nearly a year ago now, in preparation for the whole block getting their windows changed. So like series 5 of Soul Sisters, basically. And Dave was now coming back in series 6 to finally get those prefabs moved off the grass.
So did he give you a wave back is the main thing?
Oh, he gave me the biggest wave. And if I hadn't been so busy and he hadn't been so busy, I would have gone down to say hello to him. So I'm going to drop him a little text today and be like, Dave.
Now, the big question is, did you ever buy Dave hobnobs?
No. You see, Dave was doing external work on the building rather than internal work. So if he'd stepped over the threshold, there would have been hobnobs. he would have got a hobnobbing.
Oh, from all of us. I'm excited for your reaction to this one.
Oh my God.
This is the paperback version of my book, which is different to my hardback. The cover is different. But I said to the publishers, like, how do I explain this? Because often when people move from hardback to paperback, they get a new cover. I don't know if you remember Angela Scanlon changed from hardback to paperback. And you get to have your little reviews on your paperback. So a simple and compelling roadmap for a happier existence from the Irish Independent. Yeah. And then I have my Angela Scanlon quote up here at the top. And then I have a little gold circle and it says the number one bestseller.
How cool is that, dude?
So many people have come to me and said your book is sold out in bookshops that they've been into. And that's because I was transitioning into paperback. So my book is now out in paperback. It's much cheaper. And I've written an afterword at the end, which is a little chapter about Tali's arrival into the world. So I'm very excited for people to see this knocking around the place. And if you do see Glow, the paperback version anywhere, please send me a little picture. I'd love to see it. And I know so many people have already bought my book, so I'm not asking people to buy it again, but maybe it will just reach a new audience.
Yeah. And if you have it yourself and you know that it's a good read, it might be time to buy it as a gift for someone, because there's nothing more special than receiving a book from a friend.
So that's my recommends, is just to let you know that if you are looking for a book for a friend, the paperback version of my book is now out and it looks a little bit different. What do you think?
I love it. I really, really love it.
Yeah. Gorge. So it's the original color pink, and then it has a darker pink down the bottom with a little gold band across the front of it. So, yeah.
So I mentioned earlier on in the episode, the We Can Do Hard Things podcast with Glennon Doyle and her sister Amanda. Go this week and listen to the two-parter. It really is worthwhile. But I also wanted to mention Audrey Hamilton, your bestie, your bae. I was scrolling on Instagram and I saw she has a new printout. Now, obviously, I'm searching for things that will brighten up my flat. I've gone, thanks to your sister at Nomad Design, I've gone with some kind of soft, muted colours on the walls. And then I'm going to bring the place to life by putting some art up. And I always have my eye on Audrey's prints because they're just amazing. The pig, the panda, and the tiger. Like, there's, you know, she has infinite options for you, colorful options. But the one, her new one she has, is a floral print.
Yes.
Oh my God. It's an explosion of flowers all over a canvas. And it's called Smell Like Summer. And she says in her latest Instagram post about it, it's my first time painting florals and I may be hooked. And I saw it and I was hooked.
She's such an incredible eye, and the spin that she puts on her art, I just think is so, it's so joyful, isn't it?
Totally. So that's what it was. I saw it immediately and it gave me like, wow. And I thought, if that was on my wall and I walk past that every day, particularly in my hall, because my hall's a little bit darker than I'd like it to be. I thought that would be like a real, whoa. A real moment for me to smile before I left the house or when I came back. So that's my plan. I'm going to get myself one, and you can check her out on Instagram.
Yeah, Audrey Hamilton Art, and she's a true soul sister. She's on the hobnobs.
Powered by hobnobs, those paintings. I've got a quote if you need one.
Oh, great.
So I got a lovely quote from my friend Carla the other day, who had been sent this by one of our mutual friends, and I, wow. Loved it. So it's very simple, little poem, little statement. It's called Searching for Myself. And it says, be yourself so the people looking for you can find you.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that lovely?
That's a really, really good one.
Yeah. So if it's a tribe, a community you're trying to build, if it's a partner you're looking for, or if it's a new bunch of friends that you need, be you and then they will find you.
Thank you so much to everyone for tuning in today, and we'll definitely see you next week. There's a few places left on Claire's retreat, which is when?
It's the 7th to the 10th of June. It's in Connemara, and if you want to come along, please do get in touch with me. Send me a little DM at Claire Solon on Instagram, and I can send you all the details.
And we have three places left for Chicago. So if you want to go on that solo journey with yourself, you can either go to Connemara on a retreat, or maybe go a little further afield, come to Chicago and run a half marathon with us, or a 5K. Actually, on this trip, we have so many single girls coming. And I don't mean single as in relationship status. I mean, there's a lot of solo travelers on this trip. So if it's something that you're like, maybe... just get in touch with me on Instagram. I'll leave our Instagram handles in the show notes.